Now, a former Downing Street advisor has called for a ban on 16-year-olds having smartphones or tablets. Steve Hilton is a former director of strategy for David Cameron. He says the move would make life easier for parents, better for children, and still retain the benefits of technology. We need to create a social norm that children should never have access to the internet without supervision, he says. Just as we ban smoking or drinking for under 16s, because we think most of those things are bad for them, we should ban smartphones and tablets for children too. My goodness, I know some six-year-olds who have an iPad. Fionnuala Meredith, Emma Wolfe, morning to you both.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you think, Fionnuala?
I just don't think it can work. I think it's a practical thing, first of all. It is completely unenforceable for this to happen. You know, as you say, an enormous number of kids have smartphones already. Well, what are you going to do, just scoop them all up and bin them? You know, it's just never going to happen. And, you know, I read Steve Hilton's article in the Mail where he said all this. Should also say he's promoting a book. So, you know, that's he has a particular agenda here. But the thing that really got to me is, like, sorry, Steve, who are you to tell me or anyone else how we should be parenting? To me, this is a very individual thing. You know, parents can decide for themselves the best way they want to handle their children's connection with the internet or otherwise. And he's holding himself up as this kind of example. He says, you know, my sons, they don't have phones or tablets. They only use a computer at school. At home, we have half an hour or so of screen time a few days a week. And, you know, fair enough, Steve, you do that. But don't be telling all the rest of us the best way to handle our interaction with our children. I think that's a very individual thing.
Emma?
Well, the thing we have to realise is there are no boundaries between the children's world and the adult world online. I've written a book about this too. The highest users of internet porn are teenage boys. The users of 10, 11-year-olds is absolutely horrific. If children are learning about... This is where children are learning.
Is that
about
true? Sorry, is that...
Yes.
10 and 11-year-olds are the...
10 and 11-year-olds... 90% of 10 and 11-year-old boys have seen internet porn. And some of them, and I've interviewed them, some of them find it extremely distressing what they see. And God help us, Stephen, if they are learning about women and about interpersonal relationships and about sex, let's be honest, if they're learning about that from what they see online, God help us, because that is a terrible place. The fact is, Fionnuala, you can monitor this. You can make, I mean, I know because I have it at the weekend, you have a phone which is only for calls and texting, and that's absolutely fine. And, you know, there are no boundaries online, and children are being damaged by this stuff.
Of course you can. I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying it's parents' individual decisions. You're not going to get anyone to stand up and say, oh, how wonderful that, you know, young kids are being able to see porn. Of course that's dreadful. But how you deal with that is a matter for individual parents. You can't have someone stand up and say, right, that's it. We're going to have a ban and there's going to be no more smartphones for kids under 16. Like, for a start, it's crazy because there's no way it can happen. But secondly, it isn't right that someone, you know, gets to stand up and say, well, this is what we're going to do now. Parenting, you know what I think? More and more and more, parents are subject, just to finish what I'm saying, Emma, more and more and more, parents are subject to all kinds of unsolicited advice. This is what you must do. This is what you have to do to be a good parent. And to me, this is just one more example. I think most parents do a good enough job. And of course, it's a challenge to protect children from this kind of content. Of course, no one wants their young kids to see this kind of stuff. To me, that lies in communication with your kids and having the right kinds of conversations, helping them understand boundaries. But, you know, just a universal ban dictated by some Tory advisor, to me, isn't the best way to go.
OK, I think you're slightly off the point here. What you're arguing is you don't want to be told what to think by Steve Hilton. OK, he's just a thinker, he's a writer, he's just suggesting something. That's completely irrelevant. The point that he's making is that we protect children in so many ways. We stop them from playing outdoors. We stop them from walking to school. We ban whistles in playgrounds because they're so sensitive. And now, meanwhile, online, it's the Wild West. And the fact is, a lot of parents, I mean, if you don't want to be told, if you don't want to read it, don't read it. But the fact is, a lot of parents are incredibly worried about this stuff.
Of course.
You know? And this stuff happens in playgrounds. It's not about your filters at home, you know, responsible parents doing filters and stuff. It's not about that. It's about children in playgrounds. It's about girls getting terrible body anxiety and worry about that. It's about distorted perceptions by young boys about relationships with women. I spoke to young men. They had never, ever had normal relationships with women who had anybody hair because they'd only been brought up on internet porn. That's horrific.
Emma, I agree. This stuff is incredibly pernicious for all the reasons that you suggest. But just saying, oh, well, we're going to ban them, that's not going to work. That is simply not going to work. It is an entirely impractical solution. And I would argue a very cynical one from someone who wants to promote their book.
But we're discussing an issue. I mean, it doesn't matter whether Steve Hilton said it or whoever.
Yeah, exactly. It's the issue. The issue is the problem. And banning smartphones for under-16s is not going to happen. The genie is very much out of that bottle.
Okay. He was suggesting that children do need phones. He was actually suggesting that younger children and under the age of 16 seems reasonable to me. He was suggesting that they should have phones for emergency use and possibly for being able to text. I think we could all benefit from that, frankly. I think we're all getting sucked into the internet, you know, kind of parallel universe online. I mean, I know what you mean about him preaching, but it's just a suggestion.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. Like, you know, like, as I say, there's loads of kids, as you concede yourself, who already have these phones. There's loads more getting them every day. Surely the question has to be the parents' interaction with their own children and how they cope with that. Because, I mean, of course, if parents decide to not get that for their kids, that's up to them as well. The decision lies entirely with the parent. To have someone who sets himself up as a self-appointed parenting advisor saying, this is what you should do, to me isn't helpful at all.
Here's John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Steve.
Go ahead, John.
Steve, I was just wondering there, you know, you have a lady on there and wants to take mobile phones off kids at 16. But a year later, at 17, they can join an army and train to kill people. You know, if you're responsible enough at 17 to kill someone in an army, you're at 16 responsible enough to use a phone.
Yeah, but what about 10 and 11
John,
and 12 and
John,
13,
why
John?
Why don't we allow them to smoke and drink?
Why do we have what?
Why aren't they allowed to smoke and drink? We have rules. I mean, we have decisions about what happens.
The same thing applies, does it not? You know, as I say, you can kill someone at 17, you can't vote it until you're 18, and you can't have a mobile card until you're 16. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay. What about 10 and 11 and 12, John, and younger? Are you concerned about kids having iPads and smartphones and all this malarkey at that age?
You've lost the age of technology, Stephen, you know. Now I've got grandkids, and I just envy them on the things they're going to see and do by the age of 17 and 20. They're going to see some marvellous things in this world, and mobile phones just happen to be part of that.
I think that's actually a really important point, as well as all the foul, nasty, pernicious stuff that, you know, you want to protect kids from. You know, there's a great deal of benefits to technology as well for kids to have. And the other thing is, if you actually look at the way teenagers in particular interact, a huge amount of that is done online. So if you're going to be the one to say, no, I'm not going to let my kid do this, then you're actually excluding them from a very important part of what happens among kids socially. So that's another factor as well.
What about what they're missing out on? The fact that children don't know how to communicate face-to-face, the fact they don't go into libraries and read books anymore,
I think they do, to be honest, Emma. I don't think it's an either-or.
What about all the cyberbullying? No, libraries are closing all over the place. Book sales have plummeted. They're missing out on a huge amount.
I think they do still do things outside of online. I know my kids certainly have. I don't know if you're a mum yourself, Emma, but my kids are, well, they're grown up now. You know, they're 18 and 21. So they kind of live through the kind of first burgeoning of all this social media content and so on. And I can tell you, I mean, sure, they had plenty of online presence and they had all that. But equally, they did a whole lot of other stuff as well. And they did go to libraries.
Okay, here's Ken. Morning, Ken.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, it's just saying my children are 6 and 4, and they both use their iPods and mobile phones quite a lot. We find they help them communicate. I know that they use them in the special needs schools that we go to. They are a good learning tool as well.
Well, exactly. So how important is it to your kids? Like what?
That's very important. I mean, my older child's 6, coming 7. He's very few words. So with using the internet, he's able to point out words or to go on the like a spelling app, and is able to spell the words out for us. As well as that, he's able to use things like color matching and things like that, and then other things like just YouTube and things like that that we go on to.
And your kids are six.
Just helps keep them calm.
Your kids are 6 and 4.
Yeah.
You know the dangers of the internet. We've been discussing them this morning. So your kids get to their early teens and they start getting inquisitive and they start hearing things in school about sex and all that malarkey. And they start looking up some of that horrendous stuff on the internet.
Well, I mean, with most of the providers, you can put parental controls on. So the likes of...
kids are quite clever, though. They can get round. Kids are quite clever in getting round things. Do you not think?
And most of it is phones being passed around playgrounds and things. You know, that is the truth.
Yeah, that, well, I can't deny that. But I mean, from my point of view, my kids with autism, I don't know whether in years to come, I don't know how they'll be. But they're both, you know, quite childish at the minute. You know, they wouldn't be the age, you know, age appropriate. So. I mean, that maybe isn't something that we would be overly concerned about at this minute. But we can watch them. At this minute in time, we can watch them because they sit with us all the time whenever they're on it or else they're in school. But they are using it and they are using the internet quite a lot of the time.
Here's Jenny. Morning, Jenny.
Hi, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, Stephen, really resonates with me, what we're talking about this morning. I have two teenagers, and I really, from the outset, whenever they were given devices, I was very clear with them that I would completely monitor, I would do spot checks, and really that they would always be, I would always be looking over their shoulder, really, you know. And so they'd known that from the beginning, from about age 11, whenever they first had a mobile phone. As that has increased and their usage has increased, I still do check. And each time I have checked, I have been really horrified. And as a parent, it's horrible to say that you're invading your child's privacy and that you're having to actually do that. But I feel so strongly that I do.
How old are they?
Well, they're now 13 and 15. So obviously...
Boys or girls?
No, one of each, actually. 15-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son.
And are they both looking up stuff that you don't like?
It's not even looking up stuff. It's even possibly what it is, about social media sites and things. Actually, my biggest concern has been within chat rooms with friends and things that other kids have sent them. You know, I've really resisted using Snapchat with my kids. I've fought it as long as I could, and with my daughter now, I have let her now use it. But I really pushed that. And
give me a sense, Jenny. Obviously, show whatever restraint you feel you need to, but
sure. Okay,
give me a sense of the type of stuff that's horrifying you.
Okay, so for example, within WhatsApp chat groups, my children WhatsApp chat groups with peers, okay, peers from their school, and just maybe 7 or 8 other kids in a chat. Absolutely horrific language being used, sexually explicit language being used, just really, really offensive stuff. And on another occasion, offensive stuff towards my daughter. And then I had to go to her school about that. And there's a whole... And actually, one of the images were actually put into that WhatsApp chat. Another child had put from... that they had actually grabbed an image from another child's site and put a photoshopped a pornography logo onto that. And that had ended up in my daughter's WhatsApp chat group. And my daughter didn't even know what it was, you know.
And she's 13.
Didn't bat an eyelid. At the time, she was 13. Yeah.
And
so I actually, as an adult, when I looked at that, realised it was actually one of the images that was put up had actually been an image that two other girls had put up of themselves, not wearing very much, 12-year-old girls, and it turned out that had been the year previous. And boys still had that image. You know, so it's a mountain out there, and parents do need to supervise. I really feel, Stephen, sorry to call, but, you know, if parents have a toddler, you know, and we do, you would not take your toddler or your young child to the middle of a town centre and say, okay, sweetheart, I'll see you later, and leave them unsupervised. We just wouldn't even entertain the opportunity to do that. And yet because we understand that parental responsibility is so important, and yet we are taking our young children, we are handing them smartphones, we are paying for broadband, we are paying for the devices. We have that responsibility. We are choosing to do that. And we're handing it to them and saying, there you go.
Do your kids know?
We're not supervising.
Do your kids know you were monitoring their...
Yes, they do.
How does a 15-year-old react to mum looking at his internet?
Well, it's a daughter, isn't it? My daughter's my sister.
Okay.
He doesn't like it, Stephen, and I don't do it very often. It's a very sort of, it's a spot check thing.
And this is an open question. I'm looking at it from some kids' point of view. And we remember what we were like as teenagers.
Of course.
Is it not an invasion of their privacy? Are they not entitled to a certain degree of privacy at that age?
Yeah, I mean, that's the measure that I've had to really work with. I'm trying to work out when you protect and when do you have privacy. And I think that's the decision that we do have to make as parents. And I'm using that analogy of a child. You know, you don't let your young child go out in the middle of the town on their own. You do supervise. Obviously, mm-hmm. a 15-year-old, that's a different ballgame.
Well, exactly. And there's a hell of a difference, isn't there, between looking at an 8 and 9-year-old's internet activity. But when they get to that age, probably 14, to be honest, 14, 15, 16, you know, they're becoming individuals in their own right with their own space, don't necessarily want to be around their parents as much as they once did. The thought of their parents scrutinising what they're saying to their friends would make them cringe, wouldn't it?
No, absolutely it would. And I appreciate that. And with my daughter, I mean, I don't check it very, very often. But she knows that at times that I will still do that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just about having to develop that trust. And thankfully, on her part, you know, there's been nothing that I have seen from her that has really disturbed me. It's actually been from other people, which is just really sad.
What about your son?
My son, he had his phone taken off him because actually he did cross a line and he knew that he'd done something. He said something very, very rude. Very, very rude in the context of a WhatsApp chat, peer environment, you know, and some of the stuff that was being said was dreadful. And he said something appalling, actually, about somebody else. Well, it's just not on. And the thing about it is, I read it and other parents would be able to read that. And you know, we had to have a whole conversation about maturity and about being able to actually how you express things. I mean, we know as adults, you know, you don't post a tweet that you know is going to be offensive. You just know not to do that. And our children have to understand the same thing, you know. And it's up to us to teach them. So it's actually been a learning exercise and hopefully he has learned from that, you know.